I was scared in the beginning. It was like a couple of like slow days, and tiba-tiba boom. And then sampai to the point, ingat gak pas gue cuci piring?
Yeah.
Sasha yang
waitressing.
Waitressing. You took the orders or something.
Yeah.
And Kevin yang jadi waiter.
Gue jadi waiter. Karena waktu itu kita understaff. Tapi sampai sekarang pun main sauce kita, menu sauce itu resepinya cuma tahu yang tahu tuh executive chef kita. Dan kita bertiga.
We still make our sauce. Like our three still make it. Oh. Only us three.
Our staff doesn't know.
Yeah.
The main honey sauce.
Kita tuker-tukeran aja.
Wow. Apakah dulu pernah ada kayak konflik? Gitu?
Pasti ada sih kita kayaknya.
Paling kan argument about work.
Disagreements. Tapi bukan konflik yang kayak bubar yuk. Gak pernah sih.
Yeah. Kevin pernah gigit kuping gue sih.
Everybody, welcome back to Ray Jensen Radio Podcast. Kali ini kita akan ngobrolin tentang restoran bisnis dan juga partnership bersama grupnya Honu nih, Jenda, Sasha, dan juga Kevin. Mereka adalah founder dari Honu, itu Poke Bowl yang udah lama, umurnya 7 tahun. Nah, mereka udah lewatin tuh dari masa viralnya waktu buka, kena pandemi, bisnisnya turun, sekarang lagi renovasi, dan juga mereka mau mulai ke restoran-restoran yang lebih premium dengan konsepnya yang menarik juga. Coming soon, so stay tuned for that. Nah, kita akan ngobrolin nih sejarah mereka, idenya dari mana buka Poke Bowl, dan challenges-nya apa aja, mulai dari bisnis sampai partnership itu. Kalau lagi clash pendapat gimana, kalau ada yang kalah voting gimana, tanggung jawabnya ngurusin apa aja. Dan karena pengalaman mereka udah 7 tahun, mereka udah lewatin tuh enaknya dan juga susahnya jadi restaurant owner di F&B. So, buat kalian yang mau planning punya bisnis F&B, kalian harus dengerin ini sebenarnya sampai habis. Seperti biasa, jangan lupa subscribe di Ray Jensen Radio Podcast di YouTube, Spotify, and all other podcast platform. Follow kita di Instagram dan juga di TikTok di Ray Jensen Radio. Okay guys, please welcome Jenda, Sasha, dan juga Kevin. Enjoy the show. Hello guys, kita ditemenin sekarang sama Honu Poke and Matcha Bar, apa ya, Corners. Yes, ada Jenda, Saskia, and Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. What an honor. One of the most, yang paling keren dan yang paling bertahan gitu di Jakarta, Honu. How long is it been?
Februari ini kita 7 tahun.
7 tahun?
Yeah.
Wow, how does it feel?
How does it feel, guys?
Especially waktu itu ada pandemi, kita sempat deg-degan ya.
Yeah.
Kayak ini bakal survive gak brandnya?
Hmm. 7 jadi, tahun dan berapa outlet?
We tried opening in some outlets, some other locations. Cuman akhirnya yang kita maintain sekarang tinggal, kalau Honu tinggal 4.
Tinggal 4?
Iya.
Oke, sempat berapa?
Kita sempat ada beberapa cloud kitchen.
Oke.
Okay. Ini sempat ada 7 sih paling banyak, 7 atau 8.
Cuman... Yeah. Cloud kitchen didn't work out for us.
Yeah, does it really work, cloud kitchen?
Gimana ya?
So, I think nobody worked.
During a certain time pas nobody wanted to go out,
yeah.
Yang masa-masa masih ada COVID, cloud kitchen work banget. And then sentiment pas, it's okay to come outside, tapi fresh air.
Hmm.
Tiba-tiba drop. Terus outlet kita yang emang open space naik banget.
Yeah.
Dan lama-lama abis sentimen, open air itu udah gak peduli, indoor it's okay. Dan itu juga drop. Yeah, so it during those pandemic times.
Iya, banyak moving parts ya. Yeah. Kalau misalnya, I felt udah mulai boleh nih dine-in ke restoran. Kayak ada persentasenya kan tuh, boleh berapa persen.
Benar.
Terus tiba-tiba naik lagi, turun lagi, gak boleh lagi gitu. Kayak gitu.
Yeah. I'm glad it's all over.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Gila.
Yeah.
Tapi kalian survive for all that.
Good job, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, ini kita tarik dari awal dulu mungkin ya. Ini jadi kayak the purpose of this podcast, kayak supaya listener terus bisa terinspirasi lah dari kalian sebagai partners. What you guys been through, obviously udah 7 years, dan nanti ada itu apa teaser for your new outlet.
Yes.
Jadi tarik mundur, siapa yang punya ide bikin Poke Bowl di Indonesia?
Pertama sebenarnya idenya bukan poke ya,
bukan.
Pertama kali kita ketemu, I mentioned to them, buka Matcha Bar yuk. di sini belum ada.
Oh, matcha bar-nya duluan.
Matcha ya. Bar. Sebenarnya.
Oh, okay. Di sini belum ada loh kafe yang fokus di matcha gitu. Yeah. Padahal di luar ada selera cafes yang udah menggantikan coffee shops focusing on matcha gitu.
Ini gue sambil makan.
Oh, ya, saya makan.
Kalian suggest yang mana dulu?
Yang ini yang paling populer yaitu yeah. 2&2, namanya ada salmon tuna, wakame, salad, and tempura crunch as well.
That's like all time favorite.
Very rich.
Yeah.
Best seller.
So depends on your preference.
Ada honu sauce nggak tadi?
Ada. Ini.
Oh, yeah. So. Mungkin try with that first. Kalau okay. Kurang kick.
Yeah. Alright. Okay. Continue.
Terus.
Continue sambil gue cobain.
Waktu kita ngobrolin konsepnya, we thought kayaknya kalau nggak ada makanannya kurang kuat secara konsep gitu. Hmm. Let's apa gimana nih gitu. And then kita came across pokeball.
Hmm. I think it was sandwiches first.
But that was before.
Way before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It didn't link to that. And then.
Yeah, untung nggak jadi bukan.
Untung nggak jadi. And when we came across pokeball kayak ini kayaknya kalau di pair sama matcha
cocok
gitu. Yeah. Kan ada Japanese influence, ada benang merahnya lah antara dua itu.
Yeah.
Terus akhirnya kita ketemu my cousin. Dia emang udah lama in Japanese cuisine. Hmm. Head of sushi chef satu Indonesia at the time.
Okay.
And then we said, can you make poke bowl? Dia bilang, of course. Terus tasting, kita langsung suka.
Yeah. Okay. Said, so basically kita arahin. Kayak dia he's used to making, you know, Japanese and raw dishes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cuman kita arahin supaya kayak poke bowl. Terus pas sekali tasting, itu kita langsung kayak wow ini enak banget. And then we got some of our friends to taste, investment bareng, udah buka. I think within 6 months kita buka.
Yeah. Kira-kira, ya.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very smooth and very quick. Even Sasha, pas construction, during construction, you said it was very.
It was 45 days dari kayak masuk sampai buka. Masuk ke site-nya, kita construction, renovasi, sampai buka. Kayak hello, and kita waktu minggu-minggu pertama, cuman buka pas weekend. Karena kita semua waktu itu kayak ini venture F&B pertama ya.
Sebelumnya kalian tuh ada gak sih yang I know both of you have finance background, right?
Iya. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terus kalau
aku designer.
You design, right? Mm-hmm. Sebelumnya tapi ada yang punya F&B background.
I did.
Oke.
Okay. I did. So zaman I think 2011 2012 till 2015 I had a for those people yang tahu zaman dulu, it was called Yeyo.
Okay.
Sekarang isi gedungnya is, you know, Zodiac dan dulu si Cotton Lola and atasnya is
Burger. Yeah, di kanan pintu kan.
Yeah, so.
It's a lounge or club yang ceilingnya pendek banget and tapi full terus.
Yeah, it was that was my experience. So.
Okay.
Yeah, kalau gue sebelum Honu tuh kerja buat hospitality group as an in-house furniture designer because okay. I am a furniture designer by trade. Tapi sebenarnya dari sejak zaman kuliah tuh part-time worknya selalu di hospitality industry, waitressing lah, kitchen hand lah, nyendokin es krim lah, okay. As a ice cream person. So I enjoyed my time in Bali too, and I came across poke juga di Bali. Itu tepatnya tuh gara-gara tinggal di Bali kerja buat mereka, setiap kali pulang ke Jakarta ngantor gitu ditanyain mau makan siang apa gitu. Terus pada saat itu healthy food di Jakarta opsinya dikit banget gitu. Terus kebiasaan pengen makannya tuh gak gorengan terus, boleh gak sih gitu.
Iya ya, benar sih. Kalau makan siang yang mau quick, what 90% gorengan kalau Jakarta.
That was 2016-17 belum ada opsi. And then when I will live in Bali, aduh enak banget ya makan poke, pengen kayak almost setiap hari gitu. Di Jakarta gak ada. Bikin deh.
Yang ngurusin operation siapa sih? Produk, kayak product development, mungkin quality control yang kayak operationnya itu siapa?
Kalau the actual product menu development tuh biasanya together with our chef, executive chef.
Okay.
Gitu. Cuman kalau day to day QC, I look at it with our team, tapi juga Janda Sasha bantu juga.
Well, like menu development stuff is basically us. Tapi operations and HR mostly Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm mostly finance and sales.
Okay.
Sasha is like design, branding, and the artsy stuff.
Yang bikin cantik, pokoknya Sasha.
Kalian udah temenan udah lama sebelum Honu?
Kalau gue sama Kevin dari kuliah.
Yeah.
And then kenal Jenda waktu kita mau bisnis bareng dari Kevin.
Yeah.
Mereka kenal dari CIMB.
No,
eh bukan.
Kenal dari istri dia, which is teman SD gue. Terus dia dulu pertama kali ketemu tuh di Yeo malah.
Iya. Yeah. Minum agak kebanyakan di Yeo. Berteman terus ketemu lagi di CIMB.
Iya. Oke. Nah, terus yang maybe kalau kalian belum tahu, not a lot of people tahu kali. Ya, Honu sebenarnya Hawaiian kan? Hawaiian food.
Yes. Hawaiian food gitu.
Kayak tapi di sini associated-nya obviously lebih ke Japanese.
Betul, I think orang pas lihat makanan kita yang first thing that comes to their mind itu Japanese gitu. Tapi juga gak salah juga karena kita secara makanan I would say Hawaiian Japanese. Kita juga pernah berapa kali lihat konsep lainnya. Ada yang lebih mengarah ke salad atau ada yang lebih palatnya Western. Kita itu emang palatnya mencondong ke Japanese. Also because of our chef juga yang backgroundnya Japanese gitu. A lot of Japanese ingredients, a lot of the sauces pun juga banyak yang ciri khas Jepang sebenarnya.
Are you surprised with the success waktu awal buka? Everybody goes there.
I was super surprised to be honest.
Surprised. I was scared in the beginning. Because in the beginning it was kind of, like Sasha mentioned, awal-awal kan weekend-weekend rame-rame terus. Then when we properly opened every day, it was like a couple of like slow days and tiba-tiba boom. And then sampai to the point, ingat gak pas gue cuci piring, Sasha yang
waitressing,
ngasir lo.
No, it wouldn't happen. I could not operate the cashier for sure.
Oh, okay. Then you took the orders or something.
Yeah,
and Kevin yang jadi waiter.
Gue jadi waiter. Karena waktu itu kita understaff. Kita staff waktu itu cuma 6. Kita kan gak bakal pikir apa volumenya bakal kayak begitu gitu. Terus ya udah ada one day staff telpon sakit. Kita gak ada backup. Jadi ya udah. Our manager called us, ya mau gak mau masuk kita bertiga.
that was a good day.
Oh my god.
That's fun.
So rame apa sih? How many bowls you sell waktu lagi
peak? Over 200 bowls in one outlet.
My god.
Ya bisa 200 300 bowls.
More.
And
more
like
200 bowls.
Seating capacity kita tuh cuma 30-an gitu. Jadi enggak ekspektasinya sampai kok rela ya nunggu gitu. Cause I'm one of those people yang kayak kalau queue for food too long, I'd leave.
Sama gue juga.
Yeah.
Kayak misalnya baru buka ngantri. That's what I did with Honu.
Really?
I was working at that time. I was working. Terus habis itu my boss. Lu cobain tuh Honu gitu kan. Terus kebetulan kantor gue di Jalan Bangka ada teman.
Oke.
Kalau biasa gue kesana gila parkir dari Jawa aja udah kayak mobil terus banyak. Gue lihat orang pada berdiri di luar, gue kayak guys wait a couple of months mungkin.
It was good. The virality really helped us for the first 2 years.
2 years.
I felt secara keuangan and sales the first 2 years and sort of marketing efforts the first 2 years it just everything just happened our way, everything just was just quote unquote easier. And then the real work happened year 3, 4, 5, 6.
I agree.
Year 1 and 2 itu benar-benar all promotional stuff, marketing activities. They all offered to us.
Tapi mungkin kita juga sendiri masih high on naiveness, you know? Maybe.
Tapi tahun pertama kita gak punya loh yang namanya orang marketing tuh gak ada.
Karena udah baru.
We started doing Insta ads aja later on banget. And then it was like when we did it, we're like, whoa, tambah naik nih.
Kalian do apa waktu pertama-pertama? Ingat gak?
Hey guys, kalau kalian suka konten seperti ini, jangan lupa like the video dan juga subscribe ke channel kita, Ray Jensen Radio Podcast. Back to the show.
Just inviting our friends, and then our friends invited their friends, and then this one organic, and then quote-unquote viral, but we didn't know. Like we just disuruh kayak interview atau foto apa, just okay, let's just do it.
But back in that period of time, I feel like yang makanan ideal ojol tuh belum segitu banyaknya ya.
Oh belum ya.
We're one of the ones yang kayaknya emang ideal
itu lagi
buat
yang kayak ojol lagi on the rise. Kayaknya.
Betul.
Baru mal banget.
Yeah.
Everything masih manual. Dulu Gojek masih manual. Gak ada yang otomatis. So we had to.
Belum ada GoFood berarti.
Belum. And I remember Gojek tuh masih orang-orang kayak.
Dan waktu itu kita banyak banget celebs atau influencers yang nge-post tanpa kita suruh sebenarnya. Cuman karena mereka cobain sendiri, mereka suka, mereka tuh sering ngepost.
Ya, yeah, thank you for all you.
Thank you. Thank kayak you. Waktu itu ya, Ana Siantar, terus apa, The Widya Sisters. Pokoknya banyak banget influencers dan celebrities yang emang karena suka, mereka ngepost.
I think at that time, what we were focusing on mostly was consistency of the food. Kayak benar-benar we were kayak ngeliatin over the counter how it was made and stuff like that. Kayak marketing was like a second thing because we were just making sure it was okay.
Tapi sampai sekarang pun main sauce kita yang kita namain Honu Sauce itu resepinya cuma tahu yang tahu tuh executive chef kita dan kita bertiga. Gitu.
We still make our sauce.
Of course.
Yeah, like our three still make it. Only us three.
Our staff doesn't know.
Yeah.
The main Honu Sauce.
Kita tuker-tukeran aja.
Wow. Mereka nggak tahu resepinya.
Yeah, so like.
That's so surprising.
Waktu itu kayak pas desperate moments kita lagi nggak ada, I ask my mom deh.
My sister.
Why?
Because it's our secret sauce. It's
maksudnya, tunggu, sorry ya. Kayak kalau gua akan ngajarin semuanya ke staff supaya gua nggak ribet. Nah. Kalau gua, kalau lu di balik itu, actually it's interesting kalau gua ketemu yang benar-benar ada secret item yang cuma the owners atau the family of owners, biasanya old school restaurant tuh have that. Kenapa kalau dari kacamata kalian bertiga?
Karena saus ini tuh hampir ada di semua menu. Jadi kalau poke itu kan yang bikin identik the marination. Jadi kalau misalnya beda sama restoran Jepang, misalnya chirashi itu kan you eat the salmon, tuna, as is. Gak ada marination. Nah kita tuh di marinate. Yang that's what makes poke-poke kan. Nah kita marinate pakai honu sauce.
Which is really good.
Ini
habis. Belum baru berapa menit, bro.
Yay.
Nah, itu kita waktu itu takut apa rasanya berubah karena itu kan the main component. Jadi kita pikir ya udah untuk Honu Sauce khusus untuk itu hanya kita bertiga dan the apa founder chef yang boleh tahu.
I'm sure the founder chef udah lupa.
Tapi kita sebenarnya sempat ngomong ini beberapa kali
gitu
sih.
Kalau kerja sama
kalian. Oh, that you do with the recipes that we teach you yang on top of the sauce. Something like that.
Yeah. Part of the employment contract.
Yeah.
Kalau sampai bocor,
we'll sue you.
We reconsidered about this a few times as we grow. Apa kita udah handover ya or gimana resepnya? Tapi ya kita kan per tahun realign our vision ya, ngobrol panjang gitu kita enak gimana, selalu ujung-ujungnya udahlah kita aja yang masih bikin.
Tapi banyak benefitnya juga, jadi kita tuh ada alasan untuk masuk ke kitchen. Mungkin kalau kita gak ada tugas itu, ke kitchennya gak sesering itu gitu.
Gak seniat itu ya.
Cuman ini karena kita mesti bikin saus kayak, oh ya udah mau gak mau mesti masuk.
Banyak owner yang kayak gak pernah masuk dapurnya.
Benar.
Banyak banget. Dari buka sampai tutup bertahun-tahun kayak,
It's a good way. Tapi the thing is, kalau kita liburan kita harus kasih tahu gitu kayak.
Benar.
Salah satu kita ada di Jakarta to make the sauce. Pernah waktu itu the only time yang kita bertiga nggak ada harus ke our immediate family members. My mom juga pernah. Gitu. And deket-deket yang mau gitu. And I remember dulu pas minta my mom message, I'm like, please don't mess it up. Salah dikit, salah garam sama ini diganti gitu.
Itu ingredientnya satu ada garam aja.
Definitely.
Garam ada.
Tapi it's really good. And I have to say, kayak coming from F&B, kalau gua di grup gua with my partners, itu gua yang operations and product. Ya kan? It's really hard to keep consistency. Especially di outlet terus 7 tahun. Itu kudos juga sih, itu really hard.
Tapi
mungkin one of the key consistency yaitu you keep the recipe then you have to make the recipe yourself.
Tapi yang really good, we have to shout out our staff yang step up. Bella especially. She started off as a marketing like admin or executor lah, and then went to marketing like with or had no marketing background, then went to marketing manager. And now more operational manager, making sure QC is done right up, and itu makes our job a lot easier. Dia udah tahu rasanya kita sukanya gimana, levelnya gimana. It makes our job a lot easier.
Kalau staff udah tahu taste owner yang owner mau gimana itu.
Dan dia galak.
Yeah, ini kan? Oh, yeah.
Very important.
Very important, yeah. Yes.
Tadi kalian mention mulai tahun ketiga baru the real hard work starts gitu.
Yeah.
What happened namanya?
Sales dipped. I think itu pas kita buka, so every year kita emang, although we had a lot of offers back then, I think all of us didn't want to grow so fast. You know, kita ditawarin injak sana, diinjak sini.
Pastilah, bukan sini. Di sini yuk, bukan di kota ini yuk. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Apa franchise lah, funding lah, apalah. No, it's like, okay, we're sticking to one outlet per year. Akhirnya the third year kita buka Honu BSD. And that was our first one. Yang agak kayak, ini kok gak segampang yang pertama-tama ya gitu.
Tapi mana? Waktu itu market Tangsel juga agak beda. Kita baru mau kenalan sama market Tangsel at the time.
So we had to do some extra work on say exposure, partnerships, you know, different marketing strategies. Just a lot of trial and error until we got the key to every different spot.
Okay, yeah. Which is contohnya gimana? Okay, for our listeners.
Okay, contohnya.
Nah, satu di market Jakarta Selatan, Kemang. Ya kan? Satu di BSD gitu. Itu kan different.
Very different. Yeah.
So what we realized is, say, one of our outlets, I'll just say Kemang deh, didn't respond so well with promos.
Didn't. Okay.
Comparison to somewhere like Menteng. Promo langsung quantity goes up like crazy.
Oh.
Kalau Kemang did of course efek tapi enggak segede outlet lain. Itu malah ya kan with promos margin lo tipis. Tapi seharusnya ditimbal balik dengan volume.
Betul.
We didn't get the volume. One of our other brands lebih keras lagi sih. We have called that salad called The Roots.
Yeah.
We never do promos because our people the
market the buyers, bukan lah the market
they don't care.
Yeah.
But in promo, sales malah turun. Because they don't care about the price. Nah, gitu. Now with one of the, an Insta ads. Insta ads, the first time we did it, it was actually a mistake. Mm-hmm. And we set quite a big budget.
Okay.
And salahnya, foto pertama itu bukan even food, it wasn't us, it was just our backyard.
Oh my God.
It was our fault, and it was our first time. Tapi ramenya langsung gila. It was that easy with Insta ads dulu. Lama-lama Insta ads didn't do anything. Okay. So we tried different ways. We tried food porn, videos, images, and that worked for some time. Then it didn't work anymore because everybody did it.
Yeah.
We tried it with promos. It worked for some time. Then enggak. So it just you just have to keep being creative.
Kalau influencer gimana? Does it work for you guys, for your brand? Food review, influencer, gitu. Does it work for you?
Not awal-awal, yes, but sini-sini, I think it's more for reminding and exposure.
Okay, brand right. Awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. For now, the good ones is for you F&B guys out there. If you Ojol is a big part of our game. Really dig deep on what they can offer. Okay. So I've tried every different program. And just find the one that suits you.
Tapi bukannya Ojol itu kayak narik presentasi banyak banget ya, besar gitu sekarang.
Yeah.
Jadi kayak lu you can margin maybe just kayak really really small.
Yes, marginnya kita kena cuman
by volume tadi.
Yeah, say volume and
tapi di Ojol pun kan banyak yang sebenarnya naikin harga.
Iya, iya itu kan.
Biar apa
I don't want to say that. I was like, should I say that?
Tapi at standar, soalnya kan emang semua
tapi rata-rata semua sekarang naik harga.
Iya, jadi untuk itu. Jadi itu sebenarnya gak bantu juga.
Gue tuh tanya, soalnya banyak sekarang, khususnya gara-gara daerah kayak Pantai Indah Kapuk sih, Peak gitu kan, itu area gila, giant area, banyak yang brand, outlet-outlet yang move dari mungkin Jakarta Selatan gitu, terus buka cabang di Peak, which is marketnya totally different.
Iya.
Gitu kan. Terus ya kayak yang
kita gak berani waktu itu Peak.
Iya.
Iya beda banget. Gue jujur gak berani.
Takut sih, bro.
Gue juga gak berani. Kayak gue biasa market Jakarta Selatan.
Iya.
Gue adalah market Peak gitu kan. Gue sering ke Peak gitu. Kayak to open a restaurant there is a totally different game. Terus banyak, gak sedikit lah brand yang Jakarta Selatan just move Peak with same strategy, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
betul.
Gitu, banyak banget.
Yeah, I think Sasha is the biggest advocate of staying where she's familiar.
Iya benar. Jadi kayak ngebayangin gitu. Tadi kan bilang you are the customer for Peak area kan gitu. gue tuh kayak nggak bisa ngebayangin, aduh ini customer kita tuh kalau yang di sana maunya kayak apa ya?
Maunya salmonnya di sama tunanya dimatangin.
Oh gitu ya?
Aduh. Marga diturunin.
Iya susah ngebayangin ya. Gak tau.
Iya tadi aja kayak bukanya oh no. Lu tadi bilang no.
No. Yeah, no. Because kan I imagine the brand being very particularly kayak brand kita sekarang gitu. Oh. Waktu ditawar misalnya buka sini buka sana gitu dengan sistem franchise ini franchise itu gitu.
Banyak banget pasti.
Iya. Yeah.
Apalagi kalau baru buka.
Dan kayaknya tuh kita masih terlalu muda, belum gitu paham. At the same time ntar kalau brandingnya mencong sana sini gue sedih. Jadi belum rela.
Sasha envisions Honu as a person. Okay. So, would this person do this? Would this person do that?
Okay. Yeah. Well, karena brandingnya juga kan?
Iya, jadi gue bayangin gitu kayak kita pas kayak ngobrolin juga ngebayangin brandingnya sebagai karakter gitu. Jadi realigning visionnya again lebih gampang bersama bertiga gitu. Although ternyata pas kita ngobrolin bertiga kok beda sih ini bentukannya, tapi yang penting value-nya sama sih.
Oke. Okay. Gitu. Kalian kayak apakah dulu pernah ada kayak konflik gitu in terms of partnership?
Pasti ada sih kita kayaknya.
Ya, paling kan argument about work.
Disagreements, tapi bukan konflik yang kayak bubar yuk, gak pernah sih.
Yang obviously.
Yeah. Kevin pernah gigit kuping gue.
No. Kita gigit-gigitan kalau berantem.
The thing is when we hang out for fun, we have a great time and we enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, that's key.
Yeah. And every time we have a business kayak talk, kayak and then I want red and they want blue and gue kayak yaudah I got outvoted yaudah that's it and if for example I want red they want blue but then I really want red they would be nice enough to maybe consider it more
reconsider it.
Kayak it just the thing is they're really nice people
thanks Jen
thanks. I'm okay too you know
yeah so, Jen is fantastic
nice too kok
tapi don't get me wrong there are moments like ada yang kayak rasanya
sebel gitu.
Ngambek, pengen banting handphone terus ciao gitu. Tapi ya udah ciao bentar aja terus tenangin diri balik lagi sih. Yaudah.
Wah, Sasha kalau lagi pusing HP.
Iya, gimana dong kadang-kadang sulit ya.
Kalian tuh full time enggak sih semua bertiga atau you guys have your own businesses job yang di other outlet? Mungkin finance gitu, design.
Awal-awal all of three of us was full time. But we all had, when it was running already, we all had different aspirations. So we invest sana, sini, buka apa itu. Tapi banyak yang kita invest bareng together juga.
Tapi Honu Group sebenarnya full time, but full-time. We have other side projects. Other businesses ada.
Honu Group, full time.
Honu Group full time.
It's not our like side job.
It's not a side job.
Tapi kayak contohnya, my furniture business itu part of Honu Group. Jadi ya udah.
It's like I'm helping out and it's the same head office. Gitu-gitu.
Nice. Ya, the key sih itu sih. Kalau kalian udah suka nongkrong bareng, gitu, ya biasanya the work will take care of itself. Biasanya kalau pengalaman gue lagi, partnership itu biasanya masalah yang tumbul itu adalah lo kerja. Kok gue nggak sebanyak lu sih? Kok gue lebih sering jauh sih di outlet, gitu, misalnya. Lu kayak gitu. Pernah nggak ada masalah?
Bidangnya beda sih soalnya ya kita bertiga jadi enggak.
Karena kita udah bagi secara scope. Jadi yang penting ya asal kalian udah kerjain scope masing-masing, kita enggak begitu perhitungan gitu.
Ya benar.
Seberapa lama sebenarnya waktu yang di-spend untuk ngerjain itu. Kita jadi baginya secara tugas.
And I think we're lucky that all of us are like workhorses.
You think so?
Yeah. I think Kevin at one point during the pandemic we didn't pay ourselves, we didn't pay anything. And we're like, now business is my hobby. Because I don't get paid. We're just like, gitu.
Yeah,
to be we do it.
Yeah. Waktu pandemi gimana? What happened?
Waduh.
Itu,
when it strikes. Do you remember?
Or maybe you want to tell about how 2019 we won and then I'll lead the 2020.
Yeah, sebelum pandemi itu padahal bisa dibilang very good, good times lah for Honu Group gitu. Yeah. Kita baru on the back of winning an award, food award.
Okay.
Itu juga.
What award did we win?
Kita menang untuk best healthy food.
Best healthy food.
Itu juga agak shock waktu tiba-tiba di message sama GoFood, congratulations guys gitu. Kalian menang best healthy food. Gitu. Aset ini apa satu Jakarta? Enggak, ini satu Indonesia. Kita wow. Okay. Dan itu at that point juga kita secara outlet masuk top 50 overall di GoFood, di Gojek. So kita on the back of that, menang GoFood Award, doing well juga secara bisnis, tahun kemudian tiba-tiba pandemi gitu. Yeah. Jadi,
but leading up to that, I remember banget 2019.
Lagi pede-pedenya ya.
Kita, saya sama Sasha lagi, gue sama Sasha lagi kayak liburan, like, oh we have these new investments coming up and the biggest and most expensive investment Honu is coming up di mall.
Di
Neo Soho waktu itu. Terus kita udah keluar banyak, I remember kita bertiga keluar banyak duit. And then February like baru buka, we're getting traction.
Bukanya kapan?
February.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
February like 15th or something like that. And then traction baru naik, tiba-tiba pandemic, lockdown. We didn't know what to do. Sampai I went to the low point of my my during the pandemic was, I even asked you guys, remember during our Zoom? We get me, we're like, guys, we have Honu by next month or next week. But they still had good hopes. Kevin's like, yeah, for sure.
Oh, I'm faking it by that time. Like,
it was bad.
Oh my God.
It was so bad. Like,
yang berat nggak, karena nggak ada presiden kan. Jadi nelfon teman-teman FNB juga kayak, what do we do gitu kan? I don't know.
At least our ojol masih jalan.
Yeah.
Our friends and even myself yang ikut temen bar. Yeah. Atau yang lifestyle yang benar-benar duduk.
Zero.
Yeah.
Dead.
Exactly. Me?
Oh, ya. Yeah.
Zero. Karena the thing is yang tadi kalian bilang waktu 2019, itu FNB itu lagi bagus-bagusnya. I think everyone is very excited for 2020.
Banget.
Iya, yeah, very excited. Itu gua have record sales di restoran gua.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
Gila, kayak happy banget. Terus gua ingat gua ngomong sama manajer gua, datang kayak, kita udah aman nih. Udah aman, 2020 bakal gokil nih. Terus I have a bar juga deket sini yang udah bilang kayak 2020 supposed to be kayak World Cup. Terus itu bakal ada no bar gitu kan. Kayak oh kita bakal cuan juga nih gitu. My bar. The pandemic happened.
Sorry bro.
No for 2 weeks gitu.
I'm sorry man.
Oh shit, yeah. Nah kalau gue gak ada ojol base-nya sama sekali.
Yeah.
Karena gue like an Indonesian restaurant lifestyle gitu kan.
Yeah.
Kita try tapi it doesn't work. Gitu.
Yeah,
tapi it's really dark times.
Wow. Dark.
Ingatan buruk.
Yeah, but I'm glad we got through it. Nah itu funny, interesting story juga. We open outlets based on the pattern of the pandemic.
Okay, maksudnya?
Kayak waktu itu everybody wanted to open an outdoor. So kita buka di Bintaro 8.
Yeah.
And then hype banget because everybody's outdoor.
Yes.
Terus tiba-tiba pas outdoor udah gak hype, tempat juga drop dikit.
That's like my bar, pura-pura.
Oh,
outdoor.
Oh,
that happened too?
Outdoor.
Yeah, outdoor. Kayak kita dapat opportunity in the midst of the pandemic. Terus kayak kita ada research yang kayak okay, ini biarpun pandemiknya berapa tahun lagi udah akan selesai, tapi bakal ada post pandemic trauma di mana kayak gas priver outdoor sampai 5 tahun ke depan. Okay, we go outdoor. Begitu selesai langsung back to indoor
kan. Right? Yeah, yeah. Karena kan sempat ada isu polusi juga.
Iya.
Yeah. Yeah, orang kayak enggak mau ah makan di luar gitu. Polusinya lagi tinggi nih.
Yeah, betul.
Exactly. What did you guys do kayak the grind during pandemic supaya make sure kalian survive? Pertama enggak di get paid of course kalian.
Yeah. Oh, we cut a lot of costs.
Yeah. We cut a lot of costs to pay cuts staff di rumah kan. Yang enggak essential. Terus waktu itu fokusnya ya udah yang penting kita survive dulu aja.
And then, waktu itu outlet kalian?
At the time, 4. Sama Soho 4.
Oh yeah,
pas
bener.
The start of the pandemic.
Yes. Start of the pandemic, 4. Yeah. And then during the pandemic, we opened 2 more.
Iya, yeah, yeah. Karena itu yang Cloud Kitchen itu tadi. Right?
Yeah.
Dan kita geser satu outlet, Menteng.
Benar. Karena, that's just because the landlord gak kasih rent diturunin.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then we had to move, but yeah, maybe after this kita cerita all our moves.
Yeah, cerita yeah. Then.
Oh, okay now? Oh, okay, sure. Banyak moves. So, yeah, pokoknya abis Bintaro, open air, now it's just there.
Yeah.
And then we open, Cloud Kitchen was a thing. So we opened with Cloud Kitchen provider. It was pretty profitable for 6 months. And then tiba-tiba everybody gatel untuk hangout di luar. Kita drop 50%. Done. And then udah. Abis itu udah done aja. So after, I think it was the fourth or fifth year, mm-hmm. we had a conversation with some of our friends, and then they mentioned Udah Tahun Kelima nih guys, maybe it's good for renovation. And we talked amongst ourselves and we did it. And then we spent, so we were going to do it based on pertama kali buka kan.
Ya, jadi kemang duluan karena itu yang paling tua technically.
Yeah. 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 Dan dulu kalau dari design wise, kayak we're talking about renovation, itu kan kayak one of the early days yang kayak tempat tuh harus instagramable lah. Malah jadi orang kesana mungkin mau fotonya dulu gitu.
Waktu yang Kemang Outlet tuh kita gak pernah mendesain dengan intensi, oh ini bakal jadi kayak foto corner atau apa. Tapi ternyata tiba-tiba mungkin ya pada saat itu 2017 belum banyak kafe yang kayaknya quirky design wise, not a lot of people have been to Korea and saw all these like crazy cafes yang sekarang ada banyak mirip di Jakarta sendiri gitu. Terus jadinya ada kebun belakang yang kita gak apa-apain sih, hanya kayak kasih tanaman aja, terus tangga dicat gitu. Kan kok orang foto terus di situ ya? I mean like natural light-nya bagus sih. So tiba-tiba jadi kayak foto corner gitu. Nah itu pas mungkin tahun ketiga pandemi etc. Sebenarnya F&B market-nya udah meningkat jauh aja dari pertama kali kita buka. Jadi Instagrammable corners yang tadi you mentioned becomes like almost a necessity in terms of design for F&B business. I don't follow hype and trend. I just want to make some place yang cozy, nice, well designed yang emang orang datang ke sana bisa berasa ngerti brandnya secara jelas gitu. Kayak Honu tuh urban oasis lah, kayak nggak mentok tiki-tiki Hawaii. Mendok gitu, tapi kayak berasa dapat tropical, cozy, breezy.
At what point kalian kayak ini kayak kita harus renovasi?
So tahun kelima itu, to continue, I think.
Yeah, what triggers that?
We tried everything, and it just didn't get like
dari trial and error itu tadi.
Semuanya, like everything we can think of, even stuff that we wouldn't have done back then, we tried to do. And then
also kelihatan sih outletnya perlu sih.
And then the outlet was also 5 years old. We did it, spent quite a lot, and then buka deg-degan. The first week was biasa aja, like oh no, did we just do it for a waste? But I mean, everything turned out very well. We're back to almost to where we were in year one, but it was pretty good. Wow. Nah akhirnya with that success, Honu Menteng kedua buka lagi sekarang di sebelah Museum Putih Herati ya di Menteng, and that's I'm very happy with that too. Right now Sasha is manning the work in BSD which will open
renovating before pokoknya open before Lebaran.
The breeze and her design there is different. She's
shout out to our architects, Rafael Nanti Architects. Thank you for helping out. Yeah, it's gonna be nice.
It's really nice. So I'm excited to see the performance there too.
Efeknya gitu ya, kalau renovation ada
ternyata
efek kayak apa?
Tempat baru.
Let's see, kayak tempat baru lagi.
Kalau for me, my belief is Jakarta's like something new.
Yeah.
The fact that mereka baru renov, coba yuk. That helps.
Oh iya, ada itu.
That helps. Kayak for kalau me sendiri contoh Toscana yang udah lama banget kan.
Oh iya.
Terus makan Berenov makes me wanna
go try back.
Oh iya juga ya. Yeah, kan? Oh iya benar juga ya.
See like old.
Last time I went there kayak oh my god it's like in the 80s. Tapi I notice mereka bertahan masih buka sampai sekarang. Oh
baru renov and then new branding whatever and
udah gitu. Benar langsung ada vibe kayak coba yuk.
Yeah. And just thank you for everybody that orders Honu kayak. Yeah. It's they're still there. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Terus berarti what can our listeners care the market expects nih dari new outlet?
We have something upcoming, very excited. Maybe you guys wanna explain a little bit what we're doing?
New project, bukan Honu.
Okay.
Tetap kita bertiga, tapi kita mau bikin yang lebih premium. Jadi emang dari dulu kita tuh sempat ngomongin kayaknya seru juga kalau ada lagi yang lebih sit down, you know, table service, bisa minum cocktail, tapi makanannya juga lumayan serius, chef driven.
Okay, chef driven. So who's the chef who drives it?
Ini jadi kita ketemu this one chef yang highly recommended juga. Soalnya kita sempat nanya-nanya gitu. Ini what you guys think about this chef? Dan semua orang yang kita ketemu bilang dia solid gitu.
Yeah. Legit.
Namanya si chef Johans.
Chef Johans
Gozali.
Gozal.
Gozal.
No.
Bukan Gozali.
Chef Johans Gozal. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, he's definitely legit.
Yeah, he's legit, and we are very lucky, and we love him so much. We are very excited for our new big baby that we're gonna make.
Concept mungkin teaser sedikit.
Hey Sasha.
How much can we share, guys? It's modern, contemporary,
Asian.
Asian.
It's going to be
fire
in
touch,
really? Darmawangsa.
Mm.
And we can share that. It's a lot of fire touched grill stuff.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of grill stuff.
A lot.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And just for us, it's really good. Like really good stuff.
Berarti the food tech.
Udah. Yes. Oh, pokoknya it's not something that you'll find anywhere else.
Ini kalau a lot of fire and wood fire itu terus agent nggak banyak sih.
Ya. Yeah.
Nggak banyak yang lifestyle lah, yang premium.
Yeah.
Kenapa sekarang area itu jadi kayak feeling gue kayak the next Senopati gitu, semuanya pada kesana. What do you guys envision di sana?
Karena areanya sendiri is quite an affluent area ya dari zaman dulu ini anyway, and neighborhood vibe-nya tuh dapet gitu. Mungkin 10 tahun yang lalu Gunal Warman area juga kayak gitu kali ya, dan pelan-pelan bergeser kan ke Aditya Warman, terus makin
minggir-minggir setelah harga sewanya naik.
Iya.
Benar banget. Yeah. Benar. Yeah. So as Senopati and SBD area naik, orang-orang mulai menipis-menipis.
Banyak yang udah menipis consider ke sana karena harganya. Lu gak lihat dari sini, gak mungkin kuat gua. Gitu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Karena udah mulai saturated ya. Terus jadi kayaknya progression berikutnya yang make sense setelah Senopati itu yang affluent juga dari Bangsa yang tetangga gitu.
Betul. Terus Three Line Street so lovely, kan?
Yeah.
Kayaknya bisa good potential, and when we saw the site, we were like, we like this.
Oh man.
Yeah, Sasha's gonna have a lot of fun designing.
Exciting. Lebih besar dong, kayak.
Lebih gede.
Berapa meter?
I think 400. No, actually no. Yeah, 400 deh.
Okay. Gimana proses kalian untuk mencari chef atau chef partner?
Kevin.
Gimana caranya?
So,
gimana caranya orang kayak gue bisa ketemu bos-bos kayak kalian gitu, chef partner kayak kalian?
Kayak itu gimana ya? Kok gue agak lupa ya?
Remember how Kevin met? Awal-awal tuh kita sempat nanya-nanya lah gitu. Kalian tahu gak sih chef yang available bisa
looking
bikin menu
yang
bagus gitu. Terus it was actually I think my sister-in-law yang sempat mention this one guy lah pokoknya. Terus gue sebenarnya gak kenal. Jadi gue japri Instagram gitu.
He DM the guy, man.
Yeah, so
he DM the guy.
I slid into his DM.
So, bayangin from my point of view, so kita lagi mau ketemu di restoran di Koi waktu itu. Gue udah, gue contoh, Jen meeting sama ini di sini. Oke, gue ketemu, kita udah ketemu bertiga, kita rapper.
I didn't know you slid into his DM.
We did.
Yeah, gitu.
So I ask him, so how do you know? Ya gue DM aja bro. You know, like, he slid into his DMs.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he was kita so ketemu, nice.
Cuman kita sebenarnya lumayan suka his vibe.
Yeah.
Apa experience-nya juga okay gitu. Cuman pas kita bilang, gimana, are you interested? Dia bilang, unfortunately I have a project coming up gitu.
Okay.
Nah tapi waktu dia bilang, sorry, tapi akan recommend someone else.
Ah.
Dia solid, gue juga baru ketemu nih orang, dia juga lagi nyari.
Okay.
Partner untuk bikin project. Gitu. Okay. Akhirnya di refer sama si chef Johans. Ketemu. Itu pun juga awalnya konsepnya bukan yang kita ngomongin barusan. Kita sempat explore beberapa konsep lain. Tapi akhirnya setelah dia explain passion dia apa, backgroundnya apa. Oh, kayaknya lebih cocok kita bikin yang ini nih yang kita mau buat.
And we're really glad akhirnya konsepnya itu. Dibanding konsep kita yang awal.
Okay. Gue jujur udah lupa.
Awal mau kayak gimana?
Gue jujur lupa loh.
Kita
udah move on.
Oh iya udah.
Sebenarnya kita agak lumayan boring awal, kita bikin bistro aja gitu. Kayak
I think
like all day dining. Oh, yeah. Old day dining. Yeah, jadi yang maksudnya
good and brunch.
Ya, yeah. Breakfastnya strong. Okay. Mungkin ya lunch yeah, dinner, dining, pasta, burger.
Campur-campur, makanan
gitu. Yeah. This is way better, boy.
Iya, iya. Lagi zaman sekarang tuh, I think konsep all day dining itu gue perhatiin yang kalau yang lifestyle ya, yang buka di affluent areas, yeah. itu restoran harus gede pertama. Jadi kayak banyak yang the big groups, the big names itu yang main konsep itu. Kalau misalnya soalnya itu kan cost-nya besar.
Betul.
Kayak kitchen-nya almost have two separate station, western sama Asian biasanya.
Yeah.
Terus habis itu biasanya nanti ada barnya, terus ada lu harus ada program live band, lu harus ada program DJ, lu harus ada program breakfast. Jadi kayak marketingnya lebih besar. Itu pengalaman gue ya, karena gue dulu waktu kerja jalanin konsep yang kayak begitu, dan juga jalanin konsep yang lebih kayak more focus foodnya. Yeah. Nah itu way simpler sebenarnya to operate, yang more focus. So. Apalagi zaman sekarang kan udah ada, it's very exciting time actually to be kayak as chef gitu, udah ada kayak opportunity chef partner, foodnya di drive by the chef gitu, and actually his style of cooking.
Yes,
gitu. Betul. Zaman gua itu hampir nggak ada cuy, hampir nggak ada.
Oh,
kecuali
ya?
Ketemu benar-benar misalnya you guys are my investor, my partner, jadi kayak you guys trust me, itu jarang banget. Kalau dulu zaman gua kayak adanya, oh lu mau buka restoran apa, ya udah gua daftar kerja, right? Enggak ada opportunity jadi
orang bisnis yang nge-drive konsepnya.
Yes.
Chef-nya
yes.
Cuman ya udah I work.
Yes, betul.
I believe the F&B scene in Jakarta tuh every year naik kelas loh.
Yeah. Oh, iya sangat.
Sophistication-nya juga naik banget.
Itu very very exciting.
And I'm glad that we are leveling up as a
collective
society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Jakarta at least, I don't know.
Yeah. But concept restaurant seperti August mana dapat award.
Yes.
Asia want to watch terus masuk top 100.
Fantastic foods.
Terus habis itu SH sekarang konsepnya yang lebih sharing tapi masih course meal gitu. Gue kesana full aja.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Hebat.
And everything in general, like, have you seen all the Italian restaurants in Jakarta?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Gue cannot keep track kalau Asian and Japanese. Gue cannot keep track. Banyak banget yang proper.
Yeah.
Terus authentic gitu. Oke, banyak banget.
Hebat deh. Pokoknya I mean it's good for us, right?
Iya. Dan masih yang sisanya kalau Italian sama Japanese tuh masih bertahan kayak we talk about Toscana.
I think you guys wanted to say something about purchasing power-nya orang Jakarta.
Ya, kita tadi sempat ngobrol-ngobrol aja kalau sekarang di Jakarta sebenarnya enggak murah juga eating out.
Iya.
Kalau misalnya ke luar negeri apa liburan ke Singapura, LA, Australia gitu, itu pun juga ya segitu kita harganya udah
at least bertiga one meal kalau misalnya lifestyle
setuju
yang restoran bagus belum yang hotel. Sit down
no drinks ya
spendingnya aja udah segitu gitu which is surprising juga cuman ternyata purchasing power di Indonesia tuh ya Jakarta especially
how often you guys eat out
sering sih
makanya right
betul
tapi itu yang spicy. Bagian dari yang kalau for me personally that's joy, like being in the F&B industry, we go out to try out other people's creation.
Friends, and gitu.
Senang banget, ikut senang gitu loh.
Okay, what can talk more about the new concept restaurant coming? Ada timeline-nya, buka kapan?
Well, gue sih selalu bilangnya Agustus ya, cuman Genda optimis. Pengennya Juli, kita coba ya. I'll try my best.
Yeah.
Oke, berarti kalian udah lock-nya udah lama dong ini? Lagi renovate berarti?
About to start.
Kita baru ketok palu kontrak. The place two and a half weeks ago.
Kira-kira ya.
Yeah, about 2.5 weeks ago. And then end of the month, seharusnya kita udah mulai construction. Tapi sayangnya kita... tukang-tukang kan libur pas Ramadan.
Ya, udah pasti.
Kepotong
kalau
sebulan.
Kita bisa buka Juni tuh seharusnya. Cuman it's okay.
Gak apa-apa, itu kan school holiday, banyak yang away juga. Banget. Ya, mendingan Agustus.
Very exciting sih konsep seperti itu.
I'm very excited.
Terus, I heard award-award yang dari luar negeri tuh mau masuk ke Indonesia. Kalau gak tahun ini, next year mungkin.
I heard, Michelin.
Ya, Michelin.
And Asian Tattler
udah masuk dari tahun kemarin. Jadi tahun kemarin judging-nya.
Oh.
Karena kan beda setahun terus kan,
yes.
Jadi misalnya masuk tahun misalnya tahun ini 2024, gue ngejudge lah, gue ngejudge ada beberapa orang ngejudge.
Juri siapa belum ntar?
Aduh. Terus abis itu ngejudge, keluarnya kan tahun depan, 2025.
Iya.
Oh, keluar hasilnya.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Misalnya Michelin, kalian restoran kalian dapat 1, 2, or 3 star, itu jadinya by last year.
Oke.
Amin, amin, amin.
Jadi Asian Tattler hasil pertama tahun depan.
Tahun ini.
Tahun ini, karena tahun lalu udah mulai.
Sudah, okay. Sudah. I heard a lot of noise di sana waktu tahun lalu.
Oke.
Okay. Gitu. Begitu juga dengan 50 best apa segala macam. Itu award-nya always for last year. Dan lu dapatnya ya tahun itu, tapi
yeah,
for your last year's work sebenarnya. Gitu, karena dulu waktu zaman gue kerja di restoran yang award winning gitu, lalu chef-nya bilang kayak lu jangan peduliin award karena itu buat kerjaan lu tahun lalu. Kita udah move on nih sekarang nih,
yeah,
we have to be better gitu.
Siap.
Iya.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So even if you open in August, itu we're eligible.
Iya, eligible mah eligible. Kan ditutupnya award-nya itu...
Udah manifesting ya, Jen?
Harus.
Award-nya itu kan tutupnya pasti end of year.
Oh, oke.
Okay. By the way, ini gue kayak by experience ya, bukan gue jurinya gitu.
Oke, yeah, oke. Okay.
Kayak maksudnya, kayak waktu itu end of year, itu pasti ditutup. Nanti early, mungkin March, April, itu keluar.
Oh.
It's okay to dream big.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Tapi kayaknya ini sekarang waktunya Indonesia untuk step up.
Exactly.
Kalau sebelumnya kan mungkin yang selalu muncul namanya dari Hong Kong,
betul,
dari Singapura.
Karena ada hubungannya sama government juga. Kalau mau this award enter tuh ada hubungan tepat juga sama government.
Oh.
Gitu. Tapi kayak berapa kali sih lu keluar negeri yang kayak award winning restoran? Di Jakarta ada juga lebih enak gitu, kayak gitu sih.
Yeah. Gitu.
Exciting times.
Exciting.
Konsep-konsep yang dibuka tuh udah nggak template lagi.
Ya,
yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yang
yeah,
dibuka,
yeah, yang akan dibuka.
Yeah.
Di yang lifestyle itu. Nice. Tapi lu kenapa you got your eyes light up gitu waktu ngomong award itu one of your goal to get those awards?
Initially no, okay, honestly, but I don't know. I like to aim for something high up there. Because if you fall short, then you're still here, right?
Yeah.
So, I think owning or operating a restaurant that would have one of those awards would be surreal. And yeah, we'll just do the best we can. Yeah. And Johannes is great. Chef Johannes is great. So, we'll see what we...
I don't know if it'll be like our focus.
No,
but
don't. No.
Yeah, it won't but, be. But I feel happy with the opportunity, not just for us, but like the rest of the F&B industry in yeah, Indo in yeah, general, you yeah, know?
Karena gila yeah, sih, maksudnya jangan be the focus. Karena I've seen the restoran yang kayak waktu, kan gue di Paris lama. Kayak I've seen the restoran yang emang benar-benar
fokusnya itu.
Fokusnya itu ya, they forgot about the guests. Bukan main priority-nya, fokusnya the stars gitu. Kalau di Prancis, banyak restoran yang begitu.
Oh,
dan
no,
it's not a good environment to work with.
Definitely yeah, not.
Karena kayak kemarin ada chef Prancis legendaris kesini, Chef Antoine.
Oh, I know him.
Iya kan, yang dia expert makanan Indo. Tapi kan dia backgroundnya itu Michelin stars culture di Paris kan. Ya itu dia salah satu dia travel the world dan end up here. Itu karena dia udah, dia merasa itu toxic culture banget.
Oh, wow.
Itu yang kayak okay, ada orang dia cerita guest makan sendiri ini. Langsung di assume itu inspector.
Oh.
Langsung panik satu restoran, ownernya panik. Langsung gitu. Karena kalau lu lose just one of misalnya dari 3 terus kedua, oh itu bisa kosong restoran lu, bro.
Gila.
Gitu. Karena kayak oh orang ekspektasi orang kayak oh udah turun standar.
Wow.
Gitu. Malah jadi pressure ya.
Ada ngeri ya? Itunya juga. Gitu.
Yeah.
Kayak banyak dan enggak sedikit chef atau owner yang nolak. Karena kan pasti dikasih tahu. Gua call nih. Hey, Dina. Just telling you congratulations, kalian di review dan kalian dapat one star Michelin bisa. Gak sedikit yang bilang kayak, oh jangan, please, gak usah.
Oh wow.
Gitu.
Oh really?
Ditolak.
Oh because takutnya next year gak dapat one Michelin star lagi.
Iya, lu harus maintain the standard, or lu naik, right? Or lu maintain jadi satu tetap. Pokoknya lu gak boleh hilang tuh, kalau lu hilang, itu.
Ooh.
Pressure.
Yeah. Well, we will take care of it once or if we get there.
Yes.
But yeah.
Ada chef gua, guru gua di sekolah masak itu dia dari 2 terus dapat 3. Habis itu begitu dia berasa udah di 3 Michelin star, restorannya rame banget segala macam, tapi dia itu dia berasa dia kerja udah fokus dia mempertahankan tiga itu. So, mempertahankan tiga bintangnya itu.
More politics?
Enggak, kayak operation yang menjaga standar daripada, menjaga restorannya supaya enggak kehilangan bintang, more daripada fokus on the guest, on the guest experience, on the guest having a good time. Karena itu kan ada standarnya kan.
Yeah.
Tiga lo harus lakuin ini, mungkin gitu.
Tapi jadi juga secara menu, aduh gue yang safe-safe aja deh menunya gitu.
Iya, atau kayak si, selalu dibilang si chef-nya namanya Philip Clerc, French guy. Dia bilang kalau misalnya dua, satu dan dua, mau ketiga, itu lu attacking game. Lu harus kayak improve your menu, improve your decor, interior, segala macam, service. Tapi kalau lu udah dapet tiga, itu defending game. Lu jangan ada yang baru lagi, karena ini udah the top nih. Ntar lu eksperimen, lu hilang lagi. Dia sampai cerita kayak kalau mau dapet tiga tuh sampai duit kembaliannya aja tiap hari harus baru dari bank.
Wow.
Koinnya. Wow. Gitu yang kayak gitu. Toiletnya harus super nice, super cool, super wangi gitu. Jadi abis itu dia tutup restorannya, karena dia bilang ini udah toxic buat gue. Dia tutup terus dia go into teaching. Makanya gue ketemu ke sekolah gue. Gitu. Ada itu game itunya juga.
Menarik
ya. Gitu. Ya, hopefully you guys an award.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if we do get one, I think it'd be a nice pressure to maintain that quality. Of course, without the award, we would still want to maintain that quality.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
We'll give my one star from Ray Jensen aja. Kita buat sendiri aja.
Ada entrance-nya.
Itu aja udah happy banget.
Iya, gitu aja deh.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but yeah,
come on. Well, thank you very much guys for your time.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Semoga lancar semuanya, Honu. And the new concept.
Cheers.
Stay tuned. Ya, nanti kalau misalnya update di Instagram gue, Instagram podcast, Regency Radio, nanti pasti gue upload lah kalau udah buka. Yes. Any advice guys? Biasanya kita tutup dengan advice for the listeners in running a business, in partnership, working hard, anything. Advice.
Kalau yang bisa gue share satu itu ya produk ya, fokus on your product. Kalau produknya kuat, itu will do the talking for you.
Okay.
Dari segi marketing, itu pun juga lu jadi gak usah pusing gitu, karena produknya udah strong. Itu satu. Terus kedua, sebenarnya HR ya.
HR
is very important. Sumber daya manusia.
Yeah.
Karena kan ya sebagai business owner mungkin gak bisa di resource setiap hari gitu.
Yeah.
Jadi SDM-nya tuh mesti kuat.
Yeah.
Jadi mesti sering ya di review, di maintain dinamikanya, dengerin juga ini apa sih keluhan-keluhan dari staff gitu. Nah itu sebenarnya kalau menurut gue pribadi triknya ya di situ gitu.
Kapan lu hire HR manager?
Itu di tahun ketiga apa mungkin setelah pandemi malah.
Setelah pandemi. Terus habis itu kalian invest di HR.
Betul.
Yeah. Very important sih.
Yeah.
Oh, very.
It's just hard kalau outletnya baru satu gitu loh.
Yeah.
Lu hire HR manager.
Betul.
Dari segi cost wise. Tapi I know it's very important.
Me,
dari design wise mungkin.
Oh mungkin oke. Kalau dari design for me malah justru I see F&B business almost misalnya kayak if it's a pyramid yang fondasi paling bawah sama kayak Kevin is the product first. Product fondasi paling besar paling penting, and then on top of it good service. I think design is only like the tiny triangle on top. It's like the cherry on top, you know. It's a complementary factor, but it's not the main role for me. Iya, designer kayak maksudnya mau try to make a space that's as cozy, as cool, as hype. If the food, the product itself is not the key, and the good service is not there, and people not gonna return. And
banyak
gitu ya.
Banyak banget. Wah, gila. What do you think in designer eyes? Itu kayak tempat-tempat yang gila banget. You can see the investment ini mungkin.
Wow, gitu ya.
90% itu di interiornya gitu.
Jakarta atau di
mana aja?
Di mana aja. Especially Jakarta.
Sayang aja sih it's wasteful on good design can mean so much. The definition is just enggak bisa dibilang dari kan what we're trying to create is a wholesome dining experience and as mentioned ego designer ya diturunin sedikit gitu. Kayak yang penting fokus kalau sebagai F&B business, ya F&B food and the products. Yeah, the product itself. Yeah, but it is like any sort of complementary items when it's done well with all those supporting factors being done well too. It becomes that shining little addition, you know, like the cherry on top, as I mentioned, on a beautiful banana split, for example.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Okay. Then,
I mean, other than what they said,
products is important.
Yeah. For me, see, if you want to do something, a big, small, medium, just do it. But make sure you have a good financial foundation and calculation and projection if it makes sense as a business. Because at the end of the day, we're running a business. It's not a hobby like in the pandemic.
Yep.
Yeah. And
cash is king, cash flow.
Yeah, cash flow is king. Cash is king, if I said that.
Yeah, itu udah very important.
And ini, don't be comfortable with where you're at. Keep finding improvements. Keep finding a new thing to make your brand still relevant and the sales still stable. Because the dynamic, from what I learned 7 years, it changes all the time.
Yeah.
We might be enjoying right now because of whatever factor, A, B, C, D, E. But it might change next week, and you have to just adjust and then keep
going. Keep at it, you know.
Keep at it. If you don't like F&B, don't go into it because detail. It's retail.
I think finding the right partners that shares the same value is very important.
Yes, itu
very
very.
To see.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. Instagram, Honu.
Yes, please follow at Honu Eats.
Yeah. Oh. We have a salad place too. I mean, it's been around for a while.
At The Roots ID.
At The Roots ID. And we have furniture.
At Source Furniture.
No.
Okay, yeah. Semua juga, yang lain juga.
Finance. Jadi the new concept belum ada Instagram ini?
Belum. We'll let you know pasti.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, guys, thank you very much for watching. Jangan lupa subscribe di Regency Radio Podcast. YouTube, Spotify, and all other podcast platform. Dan follow Instagram kita di Regency Radio dan juga di TikTok. Please try Honu. Ini lagi ada tempat lagi renovasi. Mau buka di mana tadi?
The Breeze yang bakal udah kelar sebelum lebaran.
Di BSD.
The Breeze. Dari Jakarta, come, Sumatera, Tangerang, Amder. Pasti enak banget. And kayak ya order di Honu di outlet terdekat kalian. Outletnya ada banyak. Dan stay tuned for the next exciting concept di Damawangsa. Okay, see you next time, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.